I'm from the future.
I've been sent back into time to save the city of Stamford from the antisocial nihilists that have robbed our city and our people. And it begins with a simple message. The future is brighter.
Okay, I have to be honest. I have not seen a campaign video like this in quite some time, maybe ever before, but it's, dare I say, pretty brilliant. It's definitely out there and different, and it caught a lot of people's attention this week, including us here at WICC. Joining us now, Arthur Augustine. And Arthur, can I give you kudos? I think this is bold. I understand this was a Terminator reference, but I mean, right out of the gate, my friend, 2 minutes and I think 30 seconds into this video, you showed an awful lot, and I'm really impressed by that. I think you are bold, and you are a different kind of candidate, and I'm so excited to get to know you better here on WICC. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Melissa. I'm honored to be here, and I'm flattered and encouraged that you felt that there was so much in that first 2 minutes, because that's even without me being in the video at all, and it was really to align people watching the video to understand what the issue is. And I think everybody knows what it is once we're looking at the same thing.
Yeah,
so,
you know,
that's good to hear.
There were a few things that actually stood out to me. And yes, I watched the entire 11-minute video, and I suggest other people do as well, because first of all, regardless of if you agree with Arthur Augustine or not, I think it is so important that voters are educated on who they are voting for and what kind of a leader they want. So it is important that if you want to get to know Arthur Augustine before you go to the polls later this year, I think you should watch the entire video. It's only 11 minutes, by the way. But I what I loved is there's a part in there, Arthur, where you say, yes, this isn't a typical campaign video or something where it's 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, where I'm just going to list a bunch of things. You explain stuff. Your entire approach, which is why I'm giving you kudos, is very different than the typical politician. And so I want to get to know you a little bit better. My understanding is you do have a background in local politics, including working with the incumbent mayor and the former mayor of Stamford. So tell us a little bit about you and sort of your approach to now this new political platform.
Right. Well, I'm not someone that ever runs for office. I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm not independently wealthy. I don't plan to have a career in politics. I just happen to live in Stamford, and I've moved around the country a few times. I'm the son of Polish immigrants, so I never really had a hometown for the most part, although there was a place where I grew up. So I ended up landing in Stamford, and I own property here, and I just saw some issues that I refer to as a culture of fear. You heard a little bit of it in the clip that you played. I sometimes refer to it as anti-social nihilism, which I could define. But it's essentially, I just saw that the culture of the community that I live in wasn't great. It was very negative. It was preventing our community from growing in a positive direction. And this is my thought for how to really acknowledge that and to do something about it. When it comes to my background, you know, I was a journalist for 10 years, and I ended up landing in a position after leaving that industry where I was working for Mayor David Martin as a communications assistant, later a director of communications. And after leaving that position, I felt like I knew enough about the city that I should contribute to the upcoming election, which at the time was between Caroline Simmons and Bobby Valentine. And I made some decisions to work for Simmons in that instance. But, you know, I've never been a very political person. I don't fit in a political box, and there may be some desire to try to fit me in a box. But I think over time, either by watching that video or the subsequent videos that I have coming out in the next few weeks, I think people will see that there isn't really a clear definition that fits that. So that's my background, personally.
And the other thing I was reading about, Arthur, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when I was doing a little bit of a read-up before having you on the show, my understanding is you also, it seems like, are very much open to different political parties. It seems like you go with who makes sense versus just following party lines. And what I mean by that is it looks like you had registered as a Democrat years ago. You then became unaffiliated. You most recently became a Republican. Could you talk a little bit about that? My understanding is, I mean, that was over almost a 10-year span where you went to three separate party affiliations, essentially.
Yeah, so what that really is that I've always been an unaffiliated private individual. You know, I'm somebody that just speaks my mind. As I mentioned, I have a journalism background. I am a writer. I like thinking through writing. I write about stuff. I submit op-eds. And that's just how I sort of process the world and try to figure things out. But being open to just questioning any idea that comes up isn't really consistent with being a party loyalist. So there hasn't really been much interest from either political party for me to be super ingrained in the system in that way. And that's been the case for my whole life. I've never voted for a mainstream candidate for president, for example. And I think that's reflective of how a lot of people feel, at least these days. I'm sure you saw that poll from YouGov/The Economist a few weeks ago that said, you know, that the top headline was that Democrats have the lowest favorability of their entire history, I guess. And it was like -29. And some people were trying to say, yeah, the Republicans are so much more popular. They're only -13. And these are both negative.
Right.
Like, clearly, these institutions aren't really meeting people where they're at. So a lot of my campaign uses new language. It talks about things that cross political boundaries. And that I think that is sort of a recipe for actually connecting with people, because I am not trying to please party heads, because I don't care about that. What I see is my local community. I see a problem. I'm trying to identify it. I'm writing about it. I'm talking about it. I'm proposing ways to fix these issues. And that's the approach that I'm taking.
So, Arthur, can I ask you why register as a Republican versus just running? And again, this could just be strategic, honestly, is, you know, typically independent parties do not win elections. But also, yeah, we know Stanford is typically more of a blue city. So why not challenge the incumbent? Why go as a Republican?
Well, it's not strategic, because I registered as a Republican in February 2024.
Okay.
And that was partly because, you know, I had worked with Democrats a lot in the past 2 years, and just more and more, it just seemed like that type of personality that I have. I'm willing to just say things, especially with who I am. That's just a personality that is not very much appreciated on the Democratic side of things. Not that it's super appreciated on the Republican side of things either, but it just so happens to be the case that there are some views I have on the local level, which I think just align a bit more with conservative viewpoints. And that may be because of just my personal spin of how I see local conservatism, and it may not be consistent with what the, you know, Stanford Republican Town Committee thinks is local conservatism, but that's what I felt like was more honest and truthful. And one thing that drives me crazy about Stanford politics is, as you mentioned, it's a Democrat-controlled town. I think it's 3-1 Democrats to Republicans, although there are more unaffiliated voters than either of those.
Mm.
But we play this game in mayoral elections, where 4 years ago, Bobby Valentine ran as an unaffiliated candidate, although he was essentially a Republican, to my understanding. I may be incorrect with his former party affiliation, but and now this year we have another candidate who is running as a Democrat who admitted that they were registered Republican in 2016 and then switched to Democrat in December 2024 and are now running to primary the current mayor. And sort of admitting that they had to do that because Democrats run the town. And I just don't know how you can start a campaign saying, you should trust me because I'll be honest with you. And by the way, I'm going to lie to you about what my actual views are. I just don't see what the point is of that. So I don't think there's any political opportunism or strategy in the approach I'm taking. I think registering as a Republican to run in a mayoral race in Stanford is, you could say, strategically a bad idea. But I just think it's honest, and I feel like the campaign has value on its own, and I'm willing to go with it as far as it will go. I would like for it to go all the way, but I can just focus on what I do day to day, and I want to know that I'm being truthful with people. So that's the approach that I took.
Uninspired, generic, antisocial. These were words that not only were said, but popped up on the screen during an almost 12-minute video that was launched this week by Arthur Augustin, who announced he is running as a Republican for the Stanford mayoral race. And Arthur joins us here on the air. So what do you think about, well, I know what you think about Stanford, but what do you think is sort of making Stanford, in your opinion, Arthur, uninspired and antisocial sort of a place? I mean, what are you seeing is wrong in Stanford currently? And if you're elected mayor, what would you like to do to fix that image?
Well, the issue, I think, is essentially a culture of fear. Fear for a bunch of different things. Fear that something bad's going to happen. Fear that the new people in town aren't going to make the town better. Fear that a new solution isn't going to work. And it just creates this environment where nothing happens. And there's a wonky local issue in this as well, which is Stamford has a board of representatives, which is a bit like a city council, but instead of, you know, 7 members or something, it's 40. And there's just so many of them, and they're really embody this culture of fear to the extent that I refer to them as citizens against virtually everything, because that's what their track record shows. There's very little that you can get them to be happy about. And part of that is because the system is designed in such a way where the only thing that board can really do is say what they don't like. So some of this is the culture is somewhat ingrained by how our institutions are set up. And some of what I talk about, especially in the next video that's coming out, is going to be about how you can change local government in Stamford so that it isn't so driven by fear and that we can take more risks. But beyond the government, it is just an environment where risk-taking is incredibly risky, let's say. There's a lot of punishment for failure, and it's not just the punishment that comes from you tried a business and trying to do something in the free market is difficult, and sometimes it succeeds and sometimes it fails. It's not just that. It becomes a whole political issue. If you want to open a business and the local board or the local community just doesn't like what the business is, whether that's like a dispensary or some other type of business that hopefully I would be able to bring up in an interview like this, but I've unfortunately forgotten. Or even if you're just trying to start an organization and people look at the makeup of what the organization is and they're thinking, well, you know, this isn't really a diverse group. You know, we were hoping for a bit more diversity or something. And it's, you know, like, I understand where these concerns are coming from, and there are some, they all come from a good place, but we're just so risk averse that people are just being taught to not take risks. Or if you have a certain idea of you're a certain type of person, you just shouldn't do that thing, and because that's the message that they're getting from the community and the culture. And I should say, this really isn't unique to Stamford. I've driven across the country 2 different times just because I went to school in New York, but my family moved to Los Angeles. So I had to, quote, move home to a place I'd never been before. But every single town that I stopped in, whether it was the middle of nowhere of Des Moines, Iowa, or a super wealthy place like Malibu, California, everyone has this fear of, like, well, you know, if we develop the city too much, things are going to change so much. And I don't know what that's going to mean. And I'm worried about losing my connection to the city. So I sort of propose this view of pro-social conservatism. What the 2 ideas of that are is to ask people to see that people are actually the greatest resource of a city. They build families and businesses. They have connections. They have skills that they can contribute to the community. And we should really focus on the benefit that they bring to the city. But that also comes with having standards of what it means to be part of the community. And that's what the conservatism aspect of it means. And it means having ideas that are consistent with building a pro-social community and not tearing down somebody because they have the wrong identity or they have the wrong idea, or maybe there's a little bit of risk in the thing they're trying to do and we're not certain how that's going to work. I'm asking people to believe that the future is brighter. Things are going to work out. Even if there are issues along the way, we can figure them out, because if you build your city off of the greatest resource, which is its people, then we have all the resources we need to adapt to the changing world while retaining the things that we actually like.
Arthur Augustine, I'm curious, you said your next video, is there a website or, you know, where can people go if they want to follow along, they want to see what you're all about, get to know you better, certainly connect with you ahead of going to the polls? What do you suggest they do?
The website is www.thefutureisbrighter.com, and you can sign up for emails there. You can also, you'll get all the other social links. I'm on X/Twitter. And Instagram and YouTube, and we got a Facebook page and everything like that. But really, if you just sign up for emails through the main page, then you'll get all the updates as they come out.
Arthur Augustine, I know we will be talking again, I hope, in the future, and I wish you good luck, and I certainly look forward to speaking to you again well before anybody heads to the polls. I look forward to watching your journey and just the whole mayoral process play out in Stamford. Thank you for your time.